Welcome everybody to Overdunk episode 18. My name is Zoinks and this is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. Welcome in everybody. If you've been to the show before, you already know what's going on. But today I am joined by a very special team, the current kings of NA, depending on who you ask. But if you're asking me, I'll give them that crown for sure. I am joined by Team Blossom, formerly Team Shiny, currently Team Blossom. What's up and welcome to the show, you guys.
What's up? Good to be here.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to be back for a couple of you, too. Actually, I mean, I know we had Team Shiny on in the past. Mike Spam, you also hopped in for a special episode before the February finals. So a lot of reps. Some new people on the podcast as well. So a bunch of familiar faces and new ones to the show, which we love to see. But honestly, if we are looking at your team, anybody who's listening to the show or watching it probably already knows who you guys are. However, I think we should just do a baseline introduction, though, just to get that out of the way. Let's do a quick roundtable introduction. I'll just ask you, what your name is, what people might know you for, and then what role you play for Team Blossom right now. So, Retsu, why don't you kick it off? Why don't you introduce yourself to the show?
Yo, what's up? I'm Zach. I'm Retsu, top laner for Blossom, formerly known as Team Shiny. You guys might know me mainly from Shiny or Midnight.
Oh, yeah. Shout out. I love when we get to throw back to like ancient old teams. Yeah. Midnight, The End. There's some good old school names in the scene still. Don't exist anymore, but, in the history books. Elo, why don't you go next?
All right, I'm Elo. I'm mostly known for playing ranged DPS characters, and I play them usually in the attacker role, sometimes in jungle.
Right. Infamous for the triple attack damage items, I think, is maybe what I always knew you for. Infamous, famous, whatever you really want to call it. Rin, how about you? Why don't you go next?
Yo, I'm Rin. I'm number one player in the world. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, very good. And the role you play for the team, I guess, is just number one player. I think that counts.
True.
That's a good answer. Faz, why don't you follow that one up?
I'm Faz. I play whatever pink character I deem good that patch.
Yeah, that's good. We've had some very spicy picks out of you, too. And, some would think that's a narrow-minded pick of just pink Pokemon, but the amount of variety you have in this game with that option is actually pretty good. So it's a pretty flexible role to have there. Mike Spam, how about you?
Yep, I'm Mike Spam. I play support, which mainly means I put trick on someone and then go, wow, my trick healed a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. The new support Hoopa is definitely, I think Trick Shadow Ball was the play right from the beginning. Maybe you one of the early adapters of that pick too, so that's always exciting. Hey, that's awesome. All right, well, let's talk about your squad as a whole then for a little bit. You guys have been playing together for quite some time now. I know, Mike Spam, you were a newer addition to the squad, but the core of your team has been playing for, what is it, is it a couple of months now? Like, it was well before the new year, right?
Yeah, I got picked up right on my birthday, so back in October 29th.
Nice. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. At this point, you guys are one of the most, long-standing teams that have stuck together for quite some time. And again, I'm saying, the core of the squad, right? You have a few additions maybe there, hop in and out, but you were previously known as Team Shiny. A-Drive picked you guys up, and then he had to step away from Unite a bit. Now you're down to a really cool name. I like the Blossom name. Where did that come from, by the way?
Blossom was my old guild back when we used to play Maple Story, so it's kind of a homage to that, I guess. Anytime I play a game, we name our guild Blossom.
That's awesome. Okay, very, very cool. So that sticks around. Number one player in the world gets to name the team. Okay, I see it.
I wasn't even the one that named it, actually. They named it without me even knowing.
Yeah, I pitched the idea because that's where I first met Rin, 5+ years ago, on Maple Story.
Nice. Okay, very cool. A few Maple Story gamers in the call today. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, cool. And so let's talk about a little bit about your competitive history as a squad. You guys have found a lot of success underneath the Shiny banner and some recent fantastic success under the Blossom banner as well. You guys want to just give me a quick rundown of some of the big tournaments that you've won or even top placings in?
I think Faz has a pretty good list. He posted on Twitter. I'm not sure. Let me see.
Yeah,
G4, obviously one of the bigger ones.
Okay.
First place in G4. Second in the Shiny League event. I'm not sure what else. Any other
games? First, obviously, in the recent March championship. Yeah. First, in a bunch of other random event things.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we have, like, first in a bunch of weeklies by, like, six firsts in weeklies.
That is going to be a good contest between you guys and GG of who can get the most first places in weeklies overall. As the game goes on, I think that'll be a fun counter to have. But you guys are currently have first place in a bunch of major tournaments. You mentioned G4, second place in the Shiny League finale as well, and then first place in the most recent March finals. And so I think coming from me on the show, first off, I just have to say a huge congratulations to you guys on that tournament. That tournament was so exciting to watch. My favorite tournament that we've had in Pokemon Unite so far. I think it had the most exciting games. I think it had some of the best games to watch. I know a lot of people are still holdouts for the G4 Invitational was the most exciting tournament. For me, that's pivoted away. I think that this current one was the most fun. But we'll have to get into this entire tournament run in just a little bit here. But before we jump onto that, I really want to get to know your squad a little bit better. I was introduced to your players one by one there just a minute ago, but I love to get down to the nitty gritty. I love to know, you know, the secret sauce of every team that I like to interview, and I usually get the most results with this question, but I do have a few more after it, but I'll get the big one out of the way. Who ints the most on the squad of Team Blossom?
It's me, right? I feel like it's me.
Okay, Mike Spam, the new player, Sacrificial Lamb, maybe jumping on that grenade for the rest of the squad. Is that a consensus?
Elo. Ooh, I think Elo's item builds are just like me brain farting. I definitely would put up there.
Okay, Elo maybe insing in the Pokemon select screen, not as much in game. Okay, well,
I have to just call out what Rin put in team chat because it's really funny. It was definitely Feppy. Yeah, it was definitely Feppy, and yeah.
Got you. Okay, a little shade to the old teammate maybe, but okay, great. Well, I don't know if that still counts, but I guess I'll give partial credit for that answer. All right, then let's go with a little bit more of a positive spin for the next guest. Guys, who's the biggest brain on the team?
Oh, it's definitely got to be our rank one NA player, Rin, right? He's always like forcing discussions here for like comps, him and Faz.
Okay.
But now that Mike Spam joined, he's very knowledgeable about the game, so I'm not sure.
Big nerd.
Yeah, I don't know if I would put it on anyone. Me and Rin decide a lot of what we play and talk a lot about it, and Mike now is obviously big brain, big LS copycat, so he comes up with some unique stuff and brings it to me and Rin, and we discuss it amongst all of us and stuff. But me and Rin definitely decide like a lot of what we want to play, a lot of our comps, and scout the other teams on how we're going to beat them.
Got you. Okay, very cool. I want to get into that, actually, just that specific note, a little bit later in the show, too, because I love learning what team's prep is, whether it's based completely around your squad or the squads you're going up against, because, well, let's face it, we're a small scene in Unite, but we're also a pretty new one, so that could yield a lot of results, depending on what direction you look at it, but we'll get to that a little bit the rest of the show. So, a little bit of a shared playing. I'm not saying your team is dumb by any means. I think, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of really smart players. You've clearly found success with it. Who am I to doubt that all of you have the biggest brain on the team? The next question I love to ask, too, is who's the unappreciated carry of the team? Who's the silent warrior of Team Blossom?
I guess Elo, because he never talks.
Ah, okay. Small shout out to Elo for never talking. Okay, very cool. Elo, do you agree with this?
I guess, yeah. I don't talk that much.
Got you.
I would say just like in terms of silent and me in terms of like unappreciated, it's definitely Elo, because like Rin obviously gets his praise and Retsu has his pop off moments, but I don't think people realize like how much Elo does in terms of damage and just like clutching up for us. Like Elo's probably like one of the best players in the world as well, but he's played attacker, which is a role that he can't really express himself on, and we love him for doing that for us.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, Elo getting praised not for maybe not talking, but also a little bit of the, maybe silent in terms of recognition. And I mean, honestly, guys, if people aren't recognizing the five of you yet, they better be now, especially after all the results and recent success that your team has found. Guys, the last question I'd like to ask, a little bit of the personality side, which team member of yours is the funniest member of the squad?
Me.
Okay, a little bit of self-vouch from Retsu, but confirmed by the rest of the team. That's very cool. Retsu, are you the player that's trying to yank your team out of tilt whenever it happens? You know,
for sure. I'm always upbeat. I'm chill. I'm like, yo, let's just focus on the next game. Like, we got this. I'm always joking with Rin or like bullying Faz and stuff. For sure.
Yeah, the two best forms of comedy is joking with Rin or bullying Faz. I completely agree. I think both of those forms of humor are top tier. Okay, well, awesome. Guys, thank you for letting me get a little bit of an inside look at what Team Blossom is. Team Blossom, by the way, still looking for sponsors. If you were watching this and want to sponsor a team, pick these guys up. Number one in NA Finals. It's a no-brainer. I'm going to do that probably 10 times throughout the show just to do what I can, you know? I gotta give you my props. But guys, the reason, let's face it, the reason you were on this show this week is a little bit of a victory lap. You guys won the recent March Finals, and I was mentioning beforehand, it was a little bit of an insane bracket. So I'm going to bring this up on the stream. I'll also pop it on Discord for you guys here. But yeah, like, this is a gauntlet of a bracket. And not just that, this might be one of the most, like, top-heavy stacked tournaments that we've had in quite some time. All of these names I'm very familiar with in this top 16. Very few, like, unknown teams can make it all the way through these open gauntlets, especially when four spots are already clean from last tournament. But you guys had a pretty insane run of games. I want to just walk through this bracket, talk to you guys about these games, if you can remember them. I know it was already last weekend. It could be a little too far to your brain, especially for some of these early rounds. But if anything memorable happened to them, I want to know it. So let's talk about your first round matchup. You guys were seed 6, so you're gonna play somewhere in the middle of the seeding, things like that. That'll get more and more firm as points get distributed throughout these tournaments. But you were up against Team Tsenda. So this is Freak Squad, Kiro, those guys. You beat them 2-0. Talk to me about this game. Was the scoreline indicative of this game? Was it a strong Blossom win the entire way through, or was this game closer than it looked?
Can even tell you who was on that roster.
All right, sounds good. Okay.
I think, honestly, the only teams I was really concerned about or that we even really prepared for were Black Hand, Full Send, and GG.
Really?
So okay. If we fought anyone else, then I didn't really pay too much attention to them. We did our research and stuff to see what they picked, but outside of that, I didn't really put too much thought into it, personally, at least.
Gotcha. Well, great. I mean, it looks like you didn't need to. You won that first round 2-0. No skin off your teeth. We move into the second round. You guys go up against Black Hand. So, like you said, this is one of the teams that you were preparing for. This team was down a player from their normal roster. Overlord had to, you know, go have fun at a wedding. So could not make it to this tournament. Was that part of your guys' prep, knowing that they were going to be playing with a newer top laner player?
At least personally, my prep was, I know their jungler is going to stay on Duraludon, and I'm 100% sure I can gap him no matter what I play. So us winning the top side was pretty much guaranteed, and then I'm pretty sure that we'd win Dreadnought as a result of that, and we'd win Zapdos as a result, because we just Heart Snowball from them there.
Gotcha.
Or from there. So I wasn't too concerned about that. They were scarier as a team when they had Jungle Book on it.
Interesting. Okay. So that was the game plan. Did it play out how you thought?
Actually ended up playing. Oh, good.
Yeah, I was gonna say Bulby played out of his mind. I think Bulby was their best player, not only against us, but the entire lower bracket when they had. Bulby is by far the best player that day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, shout out to Bulby, man. He's a grinder. 12-hour days.
Oh yeah, Bulby is absolutely the homie. I'm glad they picked him up for top lane in this tournament. Yes, they did not find success in the winner's side of the bracket, but you're right, Faz. You were alluding to a gigantic run through the loser's bracket. That team was really fun to watch throughout the rest of the tournament for sure. Bulby specifically was popping off all over the place. But okay, a 2-0 win over Black Hand. And you guys said you were just able to leverage that top side advantage that you were able to find. Retsu, going up against Bulby, were you sweating a little bit after seeing how that player was performing that day?
going into it, he did catch me off guard with the pub CC in the first map, but after that, knowing that he committed to it,
it was a
piece of cake after that.
So, okay, I got it. I love that. Guys, this team, if anybody listening or watching is unsure of this squad, yeah, they are dripping in confidence, so you do not have to worry about that whatsoever. You guys, 2-0, one of the best teams in the scene right now. Send Blackhand down to loser's bracket in your second round, mind you. Again, this bracket you guys were playing in was quite stacked. After that, you go up against Full Send. So Celestial, Red Love, Snow Points, this squad. You take this one in a 2-1 fashion, and I know for a fact that this game was pretty insanely close. Guys, talk to me about this game.
Yeah, for me, like, this was probably the most insane set of the team.
Yeah, for sure. This is probably the scariest set.
Mm-hmm.
Don't recall the first game. The second game we obviously dropped. We went 1-1, but the third game,
We lost the first game. Then we came back.
Yeah, we had to reverse.
Oh, 2-0. Okay. But the only thing I recall is them just, they could have beat us, but they
it was a bit of a throw. Yeah.
Yeah, a little call in there, and that they didn't all TP and dunk into our spawn, but.
Yeah, the quick Pokemon Unite masks weren't quite there. So, yes, we're talking about Game 3. If you guys were watching or listening, and obviously you guys were playing in it, but for anyone wanting to know, yeah, there seemed to be a really bad miscommunication on the side of Full Send. Half the team wanted to TP into the enemy base and score. The other half wanted to fight at Zap, and things fell apart a little bit, obviously. So you guys are able to take that game. Any other key notes coming out of this game? I know this is one of the teams that you were preparing for most, one of the teams that you were anticipating playing in this tournament. Talk to me more about this game. Any other notable things happening throughout?
There was a lot of slow bleeding.
Okay.
Thinking back on it. They had slight leads in both lanes.
Gotcha.
When it came down to like the first couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those where we would lose a tiny bit, and then we'd make some back. And we'd lose a small bit, and we'd make some back. Gotcha. And that's how it would go for the next 6 minutes until we got to the Zap. And frankly, they just fell apart when it came to Zap.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like all three games they sort of threw. I feel like all three games are winnable from them.
Okay.
I definitely think, based on scrims going into that game, they definitely had our number too. We I think it was Thursday, they beat us
4-1, famously
4-1 or 3-1 or something. And what's interesting about that was probably the best thing to happen to us during that week, is
really?
Because we learned so much from those games, and I feel like that's why we won.
Okay.
But definitely going into that, I think that played a part in us losing game one, is just like being in our head based on previous results.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, that could be a really tough demon to really get off your back when hitting into a game like that. That mentality is a tough thing to struggle with. Mike, you were talking a little bit about how this game was a slow bleed either side. Really incremental changes throughout the games where the lead would kind of swap back and forth very slowly. Where do you think that originates from? This is a question of the entire team, too. Is this, like, in games like this that are that close all the way to the end of the game, we don't see too many explosive moments. We don't see that many huge teamfight moments. Is that a respect thing? Are you trying to, like, you're worried about
the
other side?
Everyone's trying to get as much of an edge as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that goes missing is that Celestial gets solo killed like 6 times that series by Ren.
Okay.
And it's like, that doesn't happen when you're respecting the other team. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
That's people fighting until the last possible second, trying to prove they're the better person.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game looks really close because no one's willing to say, we got enough, let's go do something else.
Yeah, no, a lot of thrown hands and stuff like that. Rin, you got to play jungle pretty much the entire day, right? Were you guys doing any of those jungle attacker swaps throughout the day in this tournament?
No, we haven't done those in a month or so.
You're right. No, I'm up to date, but totally. But yeah, okay, so you guys haven't done those swaps in a while. Rin, as the jungle player, you get to see the most part of the map, obviously. You're the one able to gank either side of the lanes, and you're also the one that's going to be, having to go down on these 1v1 jungle fights, something like that. When you're going up against a player like Celestial, a very good jungler in their own right, but is, hungry to fight constantly, are those the kind of matchups that you really like? Do you love having to, fight these constant 1v1s, really prove your worth? Or are you more of, a team fight player?
I don't really care. I just like bending over whoever the enemy competition is, and if it happens to be someone who wants to 1v1 me, then that's how they're gonna lose. If they want a team fight, well then that's how they're gonna lose. I don't really care how they do it. Either way, they're just gonna lose.
Well, good. It's good to have the best of both worlds, Rin. I think that's wonderful. Awesome. Okay.
Pays to be the best.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely does. So, all right. Well, other than that, you guys win this game 2-1. And yes, it was an insanely close game. The stronger team won on that day. Obviously, you guys take it 2-1. Find yourselves in the winner's finals against not the team that you'd expected. So, and let's talk about this a little bit, too. You were sitting in winner's finals for how long did you guys have to sit in winner's finals this time?
3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah. Woof. Yes. Okay. So we are still, it seems like they are doing the same style of EU and NA as the same broadcast, meaning that you guys have to wait an ungodly amount of time until you are able to play. In those 3 hours, what is your team doing? Are you watching the EU broadcast? Are you watching the Losers Finals? Like, are you prepping or are you just relaxing? What are you trying to do to stay focused to make sure you win these next few games?
We actually got a set of scrims like an hour before the games, so we could just warm up real quick.
Very
cool.
We
ended up whipping out the Zard and them just to go practice that because we didn't play it in a bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just like little warm ups, refueling. We scouted the enemies to see what they're running.
Sure. Okay. Who were you scrimming with in that time?
IX.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I mean, if you have the team to be able to scrim, absolutely do it. That's awesome. So you guys are able to stay frosty. That's really, really good. And I mean, I guess now it's the second tournament this has happened as a bit of a precedence for it. You know that you'll have to fill that time. So that makes a lot of sense. You're going up against LetGo, though, too, which is a team that I can almost guarantee none of you expected to go up against, unless I'm wrong. But I don't think
I had no clue who was on that team.
Yes. Yeah. Which
I literally heard of none of them. So.
Okay,
or outside of I think Parasite.
Right, yeah, Parasite, the rollout Wiggly extraordinaire. So if you guys had no idea who you were going to be playing against, you had to do a little bit of prep, learn what they were going to be doing against you guys. This game was a 2-0. This looked like one of your guys' best games, like cleanest games of the day too. Am I mistaken by watching what I saw, or was this a pretty solid, easy winners finals game for Blossom?
I was gonna say with our team you can't lose top that hard, like, okay, because we have Red and Retsu who are two of the best players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're gonna put Wiggly against Retsu, you're gonna lose top really hard and it's gonna be a bad day for you.
Yeah, that's rough. that's a quite the mismatch for sure. Okay.
I was confused about the Wiggly top because their Wiggly ended up down, I think, like 3 or 4 levels every single game. Like, our Lucario was level 14, their Wiggly was level 11 at Zap, and it just like made it impossible for them to even have a chance.
Yeah. So the way they were playing their comp is like just get level 4 Wiggly, win first bees with Sing, right? Okay. And then he would just sacrifice every Apom up top that was spawned and give it to Dura, even though Rin was ahead every time. Dura would keep up in EXP because of that, because he would just give everything top to their jungle.
Gotcha. Well, an interesting strategy that sent them through bracket all the way to you guys. They actually were able to knock down Gaming Gladiators, the number one seed in this tournament. Were they playing the same thing up against them? Did Gaming Gladiators lose to Wigglytop?
Yes.
I think they did. Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Well,
they were playing Duraludon top though, and Gardevoir jungle, which I think was a really weird tech.
That is a weird tech.
I'll say all week Gaming Gladiators kept changing what they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part where we were like, "Wait, do they know something we don't?" And then we kept watching, and it's like, "No, they just don't know how to play on this patch, and they're really struggling to figure it out." And that's what they showed this past weekend.
Yeah, it was a tough, the tough scenes for that squad for sure, to be able to go in out and now having to play in the qualifiers upcoming, not this weekend, but the following. Definitely not what you'd expect out of that squad. We'll have to get more into NA rankings in just a little bit, but okay. So, you guys were able to beat LetGo 0-2. You conquer the Wigglytuff. You head into Grand Finals against a Nemesis. Speaking of weird comps, this is where we got to see really the onset of the attack weight Decidueye, Yeet bringing that out. We have some Greninja one tricks on the squad, some Greedent one tricks on the squad. This is, you know, Rex, Art, Yeet's squad, you know, shades of Tire, things like that. Blossom versus Nemesis, they 2-0 you out the, just out the front of the gate. Guys, what happened to make Blossom go through this bracket, a bracket this tough, to drop two games in a row to Nemesis?
So I'm gonna be honest, I think our comp was really good against them, and we should have won both of these games, but I kind of just grief zap. So
okay, gotcha.
It wouldn't have been interesting if I didn't grief zap.
Okay, so Elo maybe falling on the team Grenade here a little bit. Any other notes, or was it just literally some flip situations?
Going into it, we knew that they had like three one tricks that, and all three of those one tricks happened to be really, really good against Duraludon, so we knew we couldn't play it. And that's also a huge reason why I think they made it through Loser's Bracket and beating everyone, is because no one really adapted to that fact. So we knew that we didn't want to play it, but I feel like we maybe overshot what we needed to do. I feel like if we just stuck to our guns, maybe we win that 2-0. But like Elo said, there was some throws by him at Zep, which he admitted to, but that happened. And you know, the next series, we're just like, okay, Elo, you can go back to your comfort, and you know, it was pretty easy. I also think we just play those two zaps were definitely throws by us. It wasn't just Elo; like, we all made our mistakes
for sure. Okay, well, fair enough. You know, you got to take a little bit of the blame away from Elo, but so these flip zaps happen, and I mean, if you guys were going to drop any games in the tournament, this is the spot to do it, right? You got a little bit of that barrier, you've earned it on through this winner's bracket run that you've had so far. You head into the reset against them, clean slate, and you're able to take this one in that reverse 2-0 opportunity. So, was there a switch that was flipped at some point between these sets? Was there a distinctive... I mean, you said you went back towards your comfort picks. That was definitely an adaptation made. How about mentality? It's like, you know, I want to say the locker room or the dugout. Obviously, you guys are all playing for the comfort of your homes. But in, like, you know, team comms, was there... is there somebody, you know, guys, get your flipping heads on straight. We're headed into the grand finals. We're not losing to Nemesis. Or is there, you know, who's pumping the squad up in that kind of situation?
It was less of that and more just like, we knew we should be able to beat them.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, we're playing a strategy that we think should beat them. Mm-hmm. That's not working. So what do we need to change? Because if we go in and lose 0-2 running the same comp four games in a row, we're going to feel really dumb. And so we move to the A9. We're like, the A9 lets us play lane a bit better. We're more practiced on it. We pull out the A9. And boom, all of a sudden, way more comfortable. We come out with much larger leads in lane, and it just sort of snowballs from there.
Yeah. It's definitely the weakness of their comp really does seem to be when you can snowball in this situation. Elo, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Yeah, like the A9 pick, we were able to exploit like their bot lane a lot harder, I think.
Okay.
Because Decidueye bot lane, obviously, it's not that strong. Plus, we were playing a Blissey, so... Blissey Venusaur, we weren't really able to like take advantage of their weak bot lane as hard as Ninetales.
Gotcha. What do you think that is giving you that slight extra edge in bot lane when you're on the Ninetales over the Venusaur? Is it just the early level spiking? Is it the CC that A9 provides? What is it that's really giving you that bit of an edge against Decidueye?
Ninetales just has a lot more pressure, has a little better secure. So
right.
I just also think that... Like Veil with helping in, right? It's just so broken.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a really good combination of abilities for sure. All right. Well, you guys do take this game 2-0, but I was able to watch this game, and it was not as big of a gap, I think, as the scoreline's providing. There were definitely some insanely close games. Game 1 in this reset, maybe not as close, but game 2 was won in the literal final seconds of the game. So, congratulations to your squad for winning it. Congratulations, Fez. That must have felt freaking amazing to get those points in literally the final ticking seconds of the game to give yourselves the championship. Was the Discord call going absolutely, you know, insane after this win? What was going on after your team won the game?
Oh, obviously, yeah. Our content. Yeah. I was screaming for sure. I was slamming my desk. I was like, "Let's go, let's go." But yeah.
Most of it was laughing. We were more confused what happened, I feel like.
Okay. In the moment, a little more confused. Fez, why did you find yourself confused in the last minutes of these games?
We had no idea that we won. Obviously, if you watch it, we threw and zapped very hard again by not realizing that the Hoopa portal was still back. Like, mm-hmm, we killed a Slowbro really early, and then they portaled, and then Slowbro respawned on a 10-second timer and took the TP.
Yeah.
So we had to kill him twice, which, you know, highest health pool character in the game.
Yeah.
Pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, not a...
And then obviously with Greed It, like, it feels like Zap is almost never over. So
no,
that was
absolutely not.
That was something we definitely misjudged, so we threw. And then, I don't know how, I mean, I was just running from base. Retsu somehow broke top. I just ran to mid, and we won the game. It was pretty confusing how it all... went down.
In the server, it must have felt like a nightmare, especially because you, in those kind of situations, you are in the middle of a burning building with only a cup of water. In that kind of situation, which fire are you going to put out? It doesn't really matter. You have to do everything at once. Everything fell into place. You guys win this game 2-0. And if now, obviously, you're made the top four, so you qualify for AOS Cup, but also getting those fantastic first level amount of points distributed to your team. You guys climbing up that ladder extremely fast in NA. I think you're ranked number 2 overall. Some team changes definitely limiting you out of that number 1 spot, but still a pretty amazing seeding. So congrats again from me. Good luck in the next tournament. Excited to watch the rest of it for sure. As we have bracket, let me just close that, bring our beautiful faces back up. There we are. But guys, this was a, like I was saying before in our intros, I honestly thought this has been Unite's best tournament yet. Did this feel like the best tournament win that you guys have earned after winning the entire event? Did this one feel the most satisfying, or was there another tournament that comes to mind that felt better to win?
I think G4 was the most fun tournament I played so far. I really like the format for that.
Okay, yeah.
I think the games were a lot more fun,
yeah,
too.
G4 definitely was probably more fun, but this one definitely meant a lot more for us because, you know, I don't know if you heard the rumors. Obviously, a lot of players are probably going to disband after this from Shiny. So.
Sure.
But after March's results... yeah, we decided to stay together.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, winning does feel good. And if your team is still winning, does not make too much sense to be splitting up. Okay, well, that's awesome. I'm glad that really brought your team back together. That is fantastic. All right, well, fine. G4 still gets put up on that pedestal, I guess. But yeah, the format was pretty fun to watch. I liked that blind pick. Blind ban, rather. It was interesting. But all right, let's talk a little bit about the team comp then, guys. You were headed into this new Duraludon meta. You guys played around with Duraludon jungle a little bit. You tried the Charizard jungle for a little, went back to that. Fast, you were on Blissey the entire time. To my surprise, you were actually one of the few NA players to stick it out as this main tank Blissey.
Yeah, I sort of just like forced it on us one day. I think it was like maybe Wednesday before the tournament. I was just like, yeah, I think like tanks take way too much damage from Duraludon and A9. So I'm just going to go Blissey and support like our two hyper carries and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it makes sense. EU was definitely doing this in spades. I know a lot of teams were trying out just that Blissey in that spot that you're playing right now, Fez. So I think it's definitely a really solid idea. The consensus from around is going to be doing the exact same thing. But okay, awesome. Like we were mentioning before, you took this tournament through one of the hardest brackets we've ever seen yet. Playing against Blackhand, playing against Full Send. You almost even had to play against Gaming Gladiators. Got a bit of a break with them, not finding the meta. But honestly, if you played them in this one, I don't know if it would have been particularly close anyways. Right now, you guys are not quite the number one points in seeding, but you are currently the title holders of NA's championship. Is Team Blossom the number one team in North America right now? Are you the number one team, the team to beat, or do you think that Gaming Gladiator still holds that title? Do you guys have more to prove, or have you taken that throne away from them?
Side note, obviously we're the best, but the only reason, the way that the championship points work is they're tied to certain players, right? They're not tied to the org. So we would be number one or whatever, but we replaced the players, so
right,
we're number two right now. just kind of lame, sense. But whatever.
Right, yeah. We unfortunately, circumstances, but hey, there's still more tournaments to play, more tournaments to earn points for, so I don't know if that'll stay like that very long. Okay, Rin, you are saying you are the number one team. The rest of you guys, do you feel like you still have more to prove as a team before you could be considered the best team in North America, or do you think this tournament did all the proving that you need?
No, for sure. I still think we have a lot to prove. Obviously, there's still a team that think our wins are flukes, so... It's still much more to prove, I guess.
All right. Fez? Yeah,
fortunately, we dodged Gaming Gladiators. So could have had a run where we took out the 3 seed, the 2 seed, and the 1 seed from March.
Would have been wild.
But that eluded us. So.
Yeah. Your hands were tied.
Well, they kind of lost to like randoms that we 2-0'd, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Would that have been much of a competition?
I definitely think it's easier to say we're the best if we beat the team that's been known to be the best for, you know, the entire duration of the game. I felt like our run would have been definitely more capped off if we played them. So, yeah. You know, until we meet them in tournament, I can't really say. I mean, I definitely think we're top two, but I feel like any patch, they could be the best team. Like, obviously, big respect to them. They're signed and have the prestige they have for a reason.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, success throughout the game is definitely going to be putting their name up there, but that success throughout the game fact applies completely to your squad as well. Let's not forget that. So we just talked about the top of the show. Some huge event wins throughout the history of your team, not to mention this most recent one. So anyone who's doubting this squad as the number one seed, you better have some really, really good backup to try to prove it, because I'm very tempted to be saying that Blossom is the number one team in the game right now. You guys had a sweet read on the meta going into this tournament. You were able to really play what you wanted to play, and whenever you were in the driver's seat of the game, really dictating the pace of the game, you found a lot of success all the way to the end of the tournament. So let's talk a little bit about the meta then, shall we? The Duraludon meta was a little bit of a terrifying one. We didn't have that much time to try to practice it before this March Finals. Ended up being a pretty flippy meta until maybe it wasn't. What were your guys' thoughts on the new Pokemon Duraludon and what it did to the meta?
Broken.
Okay.
It's broken. Mm-hmm. That's also one of the reasons why I think Faz picked up Blissey as well for the bot lane, because her safeguard can remove his stacks.
Right. And it could just survive too, is a nice feature. Yeah. How about playing in the meta though? The Pokemon's obviously broken, ridiculously strong. Found some recent nerfs we can talk about if that did the job or not. But playing in this meta, was it enjoyable to play? Was it stressful? You obviously found success in it, so there's some to say to that. How about playing in this meta? What did it feel like?
Definitely was a little stressful, but Rin being the confident man he is, obviously thought he was the best Dura in the game, so
fair enough.
That's thing I will say. I don't like calling this meta flippy.
Okay.
Because whichever Duraludon got positioning first and was able to get a good ult down significantly had an advantage in the fight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This isn't the Dragonite meta where it's like, oh, both of them are dancing around with their hyper beams. No, the work you do before the objective really paid off.
Absolutely.
And that's the big thing we learned over the week and got much better at. And that was where you saw the biggest gap between us and other teams.
Absolutely. The Floor is Lava Unite move definitely put in work. Rin, let's talk about that jungle matchup then. When you are trying to, like, you know, play a really good Duraludon in this meta, you consider yourself to be the number one player on that role right now in the world. Mike Spam was talking about early positioning giving you a lot of advantage. What else do you need to do to gap other Duraludons in this meta?
The answer is just beat them at first B so you can get first dread. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is out macro them so you can hit level 9 before them. You get positioning at dread, just kill their entire team, crash the T1 tower, and win the game for free from there. I like metas where junglers are extremely strong because it lets me just destroy the enemy team, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to match a Duraludon mirror, then it's just like a free game for us. And if they don't, then, well, I have a variety of champion picks for it. I'm not worried about it.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Get first bees, get first red, get first bot tower, and then win the game. That's pretty good math. I think Unite players need to work on their math, but I think that might be the most straightforward equation that we have in the game right now. But awesome. All right, well, so that was obviously the strongest team competition that we had going in this tournament. However, you did play into a lot of weird stuff going on in this tournament right now. We ran into that, the one-tricking Nemesis squad. We've seen some other weird stuff in other regions. I like to point to EU, which EU also, their score comps did not take the victory this time. PogChamp was able to win it with a more traditional team fighting comp as well. So we're seeing definitely some more variety in the meta when it comes to team practice and what you're preparing for. How much time and investment do you do into preparing for weird off-meta compositions like something like Nemesis brought to the table? Is there any time committed to it, or are you mostly just practicing against what you consider to be the best team composition in format?
Honestly, our preparation for Nemesis was just like in the gap of time where they were playing in the losers.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's right. All the time we used.
That's the time you had in the lab. I love it. Fez, you were mentioning something?
We do a lot of on-the-fly coming up with stuff, but I honestly feel like we don't prep a lot for it because a lot of the variation happens in jungle, and I feel like we're not too worried about putting red on anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we obviously know we have the best jungler in the game that can play any Pokemon.
Right.
So we don't really care what other teams are doing. We know in the moment we can counter them. Obviously, I honestly think we overthink it, maybe in Discord. Like, we're watching scrims and what of other teams, and we type what they play, and then we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then, honestly, most of the time, me and Mike are talking about like what we need to do to counter it. Edward's like, "Nah, you guys stop that. All I have to do is pick this Pokemon, and it's over." Like, and then that's what happens, right? So we overthink it too much, I think, and sometimes Rin just comes down and shuts it down completely.
Rin's just pointing at the large chalkboard with that math equation I just mentioned: first bees, first dread, first tower, win game. That's all you need to remember. So that makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, awesome. So obviously, I was going to ask this question, but I think it's pretty blatantly obvious at this point. Your guys' squad is really, really solid at mid-game adaptations. I mean, you're very good at pretty much every aspect of the game, obviously. Number one team in the game for a reason. However, like I've said, I've really noticed that your mid-game adaptation to really weird compositions or even just strange takes on whatever meta you're running into has always been really solid. I don't think all of the teams winning is done in that Pokemon select screen. I've really seen some solid adaptations out of you and just, let's face it, a little bit of skill diff all over the place. But in terms of adaptation, do you guys have a calling structure in terms of macro gameplay that happens? Do you have, like, is Faz calling everything? Is Rin calling everything in-game in terms of the larger game plan? What you need to do to adapt, like rotations and things like that? Or is your team more of a democracy? A lot of people calling in-game.
I think it's more like democratic. Okay. If you remember, there was this one play when we were against Wolsend where they're going for the Rotom.
Mm-hmm.
And we went behind them when we scored topside and broke the goal, I think. I don't know if we broke the goal. Yeah. Like, stuff like that is, like, just, like, called on the fly. Like, whoever can, like, call it out just, like, calls it out.
Mm, that's awesome. And your team obviously responds really well in those mannerisms. So that takes a lot of trust as a squad to have that on your team.
For sure. We also talk about our rotations and our macro a lot out of game. Okay. Like, I feel like we're on... We have, like, a script, and we're on, like, the script all together. And mm-hmm. that plays into that trust, too. Right. And anytime that someone breaks that script, which is usually me, like, it's like, what are you doing? And you completely realize, why are you trolling? And then, like, I realize, like, how bad it is. And then, like, you know, I get, like, beat into submission that I'm making the wrong play. But
yes.
I definitely think because of that script, we don't need to calm, like, that much because we know where each other is supposed to be and should be. And sure. If they're not, they're like, what are you doing? Top. Well, why aren't you bottom? Type stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. Well, that's awesome. Thank you for letting me, not every team wants to give away the strategies they like to employ in game, but I think that's a little bit more than that. What you're talking about, Faz, it's just, that's just trust in each other and honestly trust in each other's skill and dependency to actually be able to capitalize on the game plans that you're calling mid-game, because not a lot of teams can boast that that's something they can pull off. And not A lot of teams can boast that they can pull it off all the way to an insane bracket win. So, very nice work. Guys, the next tournament that we are headed into in this Road to Worlds that we're currently on is going to be AOS Cup. Different format for the tournament as well. I was looking at it a little bit. I've heard, like, group stages and things like that. That's kind of wild. We got AOS Cup coming up. Also, not only points, but also a little bit of a nice purse on the line as well. I'm assuming you guys are taking it easy for the next cup, like next week or so, a bit of a break, or are you guys already back grinding scrims and everything like that?
Oh, we're getting back to it on Monday.
Yeah, we're gonna start scrimming next week. I'm already trying to like set up some.
Oh, okay,
and gotcha. Like we're doing that little filler tournament, the G4 mm-hmm. Invitational.
Very, very yeah. cool. Yeah, a new G4 tournament on the way right before the qualifier games as well. So if you guys haven't heard about that tournament, very cool. Keep on the lookout for that. G4 runs fantastic tournaments. Frostcamp runs a very tight ship over there. Go check out that tournament. It's going to be fantastic. But the qualifiers are also going to be extremely excited too. Some big names dropping down into that qualifier pack for sure. You know, squads disbanding and reforming though too, so just, you know, there's good players in that pool. It'll always be a interesting tournament to watch, but you guys earned your way out of that. Don't have to go back into that gauntlet. Are able to relax a little bit, take a break, but already jumping on back in scrims next week. So really excited to see your team putting, you know, nose to the grindstone, practicing, all that kind of stuff. But guys, if the tournament was this weekend, if AOS Cup happened, you know, in a couple of days instead of about, you know, a month out that we're at right now, if it happened this weekend, who are the top two teams that are making it out of there? Sorry, not AOS Cup. If regionals happened this coming weekend, who are the top two teams that are getting those two world spots for NA in your guys' mind?
This is one, obviously.
Yeah, I would say us, okay, and great. I honestly would have said Full Send if they didn't mentally collapse after the tournament. I honestly think going into this week and just this patch, they're better than Gladiators, but okay. Obviously it would probably be Gladiators now.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you think Gladiators is a spot. No, no love for Blackhand playing out that tournament? You don't think they can put the medal to Gladiators?
I think Blackhand has one good player.
Gotcha. Well,
yeah, I don't want to be controversial, but I do feel like they are Overlord plus four, especially lately.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't want to say they're overrated, but their results speak for themselves of recent, in my opinion.
Fair enough. All right. Well, what is said is said. Your team would be taking one of the spots. Your other vote would definitely be for Gaming Gladiators, despite not even being a top four team in this recent tournament. So that just goes to show brackets will always look a little strange after the fact. Upsets happen, crazy games and metas twist everything. But guys, the next big thing in mind, obviously going to be AOS. We have a few more tournaments separating us from now all the way into Worlds. So if Blossom does make it to Worlds, and I honestly think you guys have a really solid chance to earn one of those spots, and already winning the March Finals, you're a very popular team as well. There's a lot of eyes on your squad currently. A lot of people are watching Team Blossom. Potentially, also, all those eyes, make sure Team Blossom looking for sponsors right now. Shout out. You guys are definitely on a lot of people's minds. What do you think really is making the difference for Team Blossom? What do you think makes your squad unique and sets your team apart from the rest of the crowd?
I really think that like each of us have such a deep hero pool. So like,
yeah,
like each of us play pretty much every single character in our role. Mm-hmm. And like if we don't, then we can each of us like pick it up really fast. Like for example, Faz. He picked up the Blissey like just a few days before the tourney, and that's not an easy character to play, but
that's true.
He got it down, and yeah.
Yeah, Fess, how many games on Blissey did you have before this tournament? I'm curious.
I think I had a bunch from when it came out, but okay, at least since this year, I think maybe like two or three, not any. But to answer that question, I was actually thinking about this the other day. I think what sets us apart is our ability to be very critical of each other without having like fragile egos where we have fights. Like, I don't want to say there's a lot of that in the scene, but I feel like a lot of people hold back from their teammates, and that's something okay. We don't do. Like, we all respect each other enough to listen. We have like these mini arguments or fights, and maybe feelings are hurt for the moment, but like, you know, we all come back the next day or even like the next game and everything's completely fine. And I feel like that's something that sets us apart, is just our our relationship with each other is just so strong.
That's good.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we argue about, like, we point out something else, but, like, this person we calling out would probably, like, have another valid response, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm not doing this wrong because so-and-so, whatever. But, yeah, it's for sure. We all have very good arguments.
People good. Take responsibility. I think that's a big thing. If someone makes a mistake, it's like, yep, I screwed up. My bad, guys. I'll fix it next time.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, humility is going to get you a long way, but let's face it, being a top team, that's kind of the price you got to pay, because you're going to fight with your teammates. Obviously, you're all extremely good players. You have grinded up on multiple different teams. You formed together. You found success. You've been, you know, grinding these tournaments. You've been, you know, forging your way through the solo queue hell ladder that is out there right now. You guys have been through it. You're definitely, you don't have the opportunity to hold back. If you do, you're just not going to get any better. And you're holding back your team by not doing so. So that's really interesting. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of the show. I don't want to take up any too much more of your time, but I do have a couple of questions I usually end off with pretty much every team that I have on the show. So first off, thank you so much for joining me, talking to me about your fantastic run through the tournament and a little bit about how your squad works, you know, what makes Blossom tick. But I want to talk a little bit about just the people that are listening to this show. I have a lot of people in the pro community watching this show, but we do get some newer players to the game. I love to give them something a little bit to take away from it. I'd like to get... You know, you're the best players in the game. Why not ask you how to be good at said game? So I'd like to just go around the circle. I ask each player, what is one tip that you could give for your role or not for a new player who's gotten pretty good? They want to find a team. They want to grind. They want to enter the tournament scene. What's one tip that you could give a new player to make them go from a good player to a great player? You can keep it specific to your role. You don't have to, but feel free to answer it however you'd like. Retsu, why don't we kick it off with you?
You know, me being a dirty Lucario player, I would just say learn different clearing routes, communicate with your jungler well, because obviously top is the solo jungle duo. So just last hit better, get your XP up, get your dunks in, stack those stacks.
That's true. Hey, sometimes it just comes down to basics, and that can separate you from a good to a great player. That makes a lot of sense. Elo, how about you? Feel free to answer attacker, jungler, whatever you want to give a tip on.
So I guess I can give a tip on an attacker. I think it's really important to keep looking at your minimap even during fights, because like your vision range is much larger than like what you actually see on screen. And sometimes when you see someone on your screen, it's too late to react. So make sure you keep looking at your minimap to have a better image of team fights and stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people can get very horse blinders on, narrow focused, eyes closed, head first, can't lose. Rin, let's go with you. How about a tip?
Every player gets good at any game is good at the basics. Just following the basics and getting really good at those is how you're going to win. So doing things like maximizing as much EXP as you could possibly get is how I accrue most of my advantages. I just gain EXP, leads on the enemy, and it makes the game super easy, and it plays itself, basically.
Makes sense. You don't have to think about it too hard. Sometimes it comes down to basic math, and just refine those basic skills will put you over the edge every time. It's a really, really good one, Rin. Thank you. Faz, how about you?
This is what? Oh, my mic was broken. Sorry.
No, okay.
I was thinking about this, and maybe my thing might apply to life a bit, but I was thinking about how our team definitely does this off-meta stuff, and like Elo runs 3 attack items, and my thing was like, just do what you want. Like, just get good at what you're confident in doing, and don't let anyone else tell you what's the norm or what they should do, because our team is an example of a team that just does what they want, picks what they want, builds heroes the way they want, and we're very successful.
Love that. Okay, yeah, really, really solid. Okay, awesome. Round us out, Mike's man.
Find the person who will win you the game and stick with them. Doesn't matter who it is, this is a strength we have. If Retsu needs to carry, I'm making sure Retsu can carry. If Elo needs to carry, I'm making sure Elo can carry. If Rin needs to carry, of course I'm helping Rin carry. If you want to win his support, that's your job.
Makes a ton of sense. As a support, you can support the whole squad, but always have a little bit of focus. I like that. Okay, awesome. Guys, before we close out, I just want to make sure you guys have a little bit of the stage to sell out, shout out, plug, whatever you need to. We'll go around the circle one more time, and then I'll close us out. So, Retsu, why don't you kick us off? Where can people find you on the internet? Sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do.
Twitter and Twitch at Retsu Unite.
Awesome. Very easy. Love that. Good, even branding. Elo, you next.
I'm Elo underscore Unite on Twitch and Twitter.
Okay, fantastic. Rin, where can people find you?
I'm Rin on Twitter, just straight up Rin on Twitch and YouTube.
Okay, fantastic. Make sure you go subscribe there if you're not already. Fez, how about you?
I'm Fez forward and then backwards on Twitch and Twitter, and make sure to follow our Blossom Unite Twitter for updates on the team and retweets of our streams.
Okay, very, very cool. Make sure to get on that team Twitter. Do you guys have a team Discord too or no?
No, we don't.
No.
We will when we're signed, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a promise for the people. Get these boys signed, you'll have a Discord to call home. I love that. Mike Spam, how about you? Sell out, shout out, whatever you need to do.
I was just going
to
shout out our at Blossom Unite Twitter account. We're putting in a lot of work, especially during tournaments. If you follow that account, you'll know exactly how well we're doing.
That's awesome. Okay, very, very cool. Go get minute-to-minute updates of the tournament runs of Blossom. That's really exciting. Glad you guys have that going. Not many teams can brag about having that, so that's awesome. Guys, for us, I'm at ZoinksCast on Twitter. Follow the Unite Mics on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch if you're here already. Thank you so much. And if you subscribe to our channel on Twitch as well, we just got a bunch of cool new emotes. We got me and Dupesnacks yelling into a microphone. It's a lot of fun. Some overdunk emotes, things like that. So if you want to tune into whenever we're doing tournament coverage and just spam in some overdunks, double duckets, all that kind of thing, we got that for you over on Twitch. If you tune into our YouTube and we're on Twitch, we have our show Overdunk. All the episodes get posted there, as well as to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everything like that. Please leave a rate and review where you can. And then my co-caster Dupes next show, Late Night Unite, kind of a one-on-one interview in the style of late night comedy TV shows, is on Tuesday night, so make sure to tune into that as well. Guys, I think that's all the plugs I can have. Other than that, and AOS Cup LCQ will probably be running a broadcast of the rounds, picking up as many games as we possibly can on our Twitch as well. So check all that stuff out, guys. But thank you so much for everybody who joined in the Twitch chat. Thank you, everybody who's listening out in podcast land. For Team Blossom, for Unite Mics, I have been Zonix. They have been Blossom. Have a fantastic night, and we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.